Good morning, members. I'd like to welcome our honourable members and even the honourable Kanyako this morning to the meeting. I'm happy to see you because I believe you were up here and you're much better now. And even the honourable Skobo, because I think you're very busy during this period, because this is our, I think, the second or the third meeting the committee is having. And we'd like to welcome the department too. With this morning's meeting, we are expecting a quarterly report from the department, that will be the third quarter report, and a report on the status of the textbook delivery in the country with reference to Limpopo province. And then the last would be just progress on how far is the department when it comes to the NEDO bar. That meeting last week with NEDO. And the only thing that we'd like to know from the department is when will this bar come to Parliament, be tabled in Parliament? Because we are aware of the fact that the law was tabled in cabinet. And that when back to the department, the court had to be costed. And the only question one should answer there would be, when do you think we will receive this card? We don't need media this morning, because last week we did inclusive education. Media was present. The two books that we have are quite long. The one on the Limpopo is 22 pages, 22 slides, and the one on the third quarterly report is about 126. So members, with your indulgence, we'll start with Limpopo, the shorter report, and then we'll go into the longer report. So that is Father in your apology.
Thank you, Chairperson. No, I have received any apologies from any of the other members.
We'll note those two reports and any other apologies or those one apologies that have been. Alright, fine. Could you tell me who is leading the department this morning? Loanne? Don't tell me. Think. Let's speak of the department. I want to think. Who is leading the delegation? Yes, sir?
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. The letter tendering the apology of the DG indicates that I'm leading the delegation.
Thanks a lot for that. The reason I'm not being funny, but the reason why we are asking, because these are important meetings normally that you attend. And there are three deputy DGs in this week in the morning, and the CFO, and people that are highly placed within the department. So we must know among the three who is leading the delegation. So I'll hand over to you, Ms. Noel, the Limpopo reporter. Yes, the Limpopo procurement and delivery of textbooks and stationery. But don't be too long. I think you'll be about to support Boston to speak to the support.
Okay. Chairperson, thank you very much. May I also indicate that in respect of the progress report on the NEDO bill, because of the misunderstanding which on our part gave the impression that Dr. Nick Taylor needed to be here to present the report, and with the clarity that we received from your office, then Dr. Nick Taylor was stopped from attending this meeting. Can I commit to this meeting that a progress report required by your committee will be forwarded in the shortest days?
Thanks a lot for that one. But I think you committed yourself to the progress report by Thursday last week, any deliberate period. But we'll put that in a time. But we'll keep you, you know, we'll speak to you when it comes to medium, because we need to have a reply on what things I think like. Because go over to the next day. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The report on the procurement and delivery of textbooks and stationery in Limpopo will be done by Mr. Alan Suban, who is the director assigned from GDE to support Limpopo. Chairperson, the third quarter report will reflect broadly on the procurement and delivery of textbooks and stationery in all the 9 provinces, including Limpopo. I'm going to request that I allow Mr. Alan Suban to take us quickly through the Limpopo report.
Thanks a lot for that, Mr. Suban. Will you just start, please?
Well, thank you, Chairperson, Honourable Chairperson and members. Good morning to you. I'm going to look very quickly and just in terms of the presentation, I would also go into some of the captured information which would be supporting these slides that I present to you in respect of what was delivered as far as textbooks are concerned in the local province. Just in terms of the business process mapping of procurement of textbooks in the local, the overall decision was that there would be centralized procurement of textbooks, not at school level, that there would be standardized core textbooks for each school in respect of the schools as well as the district and for the province at large. That there would be a book per learner set up in the grade. And the procurement would only focus on grades 4, 6, and 11 for 2030. And textbooks were procured for grade 1, 2, and 3, and 10 in 2012. Given that the capped implementation for the different grades from 2012 until 2014, it meant that the procurement of 7, 8, and 9, as well as grade 12 textbooks, would be procured for the 2014 school year in alignment with the limitation of CAP. With respect to the national catalog, there were 8 titles per subject in the national catalog, and it ranked from grade from 1 to 8 according to price, with no differentiation in respect of the quality of books on the catalog, even though the price might have a variation. So the lowest ranked book is not of inferior quality to the highest rank. So the choices in respect of provision of textbooks in Limpopo was restricted to the book on the catalog. And then when you came to readers, the decision was that you would provide packs of readers per school. If one uses an example for the home language graded readers, each school would get 10 packs, but a total of 360 books for the trade of grade 4, 5, and 6. And these were restricted to grade 4, 5, and 6, which is the intermediate trade. Given the budgetary constraints in Limpopo, there was a meeting with all publishers to discuss further reduction of prices on the catalog, to either match or reduce their prices of the lowest price book on the catalog, again with no compromise on quality. They had to provide the quantities that were available as well as the available time. Now, after the submission of pricing by the publishers, the Limpopo Department of Education, so the textbook committee, then went through a process of identifying 3 publishers per subject, per grade. And as a result of this process, one can see from the presentation that there was huge savings, which assisted the province meeting its budgetary rescripts and imperatives in terms of the LTS provisioning. You would notice that there was a saving in respect of the original catalog price for the grade 4 to 6, almost half. that was provided to all provinces, which included the grade 11 English accounting, as well as grade 4 to 6 graded pieces for Tonga, Tupenda, Ndebele, and Afrikaans, the first edition language. May I add that there was no textbooks for natural science and technology on the catalog. And subsequently to that, the Department of Basic Education went through a process of developing a workbook text for natural science and technology for grade 4 to 6, as well as a teacher guide. Then also the fact that the department had, through a creative open license, developed and printed math and physical science textbooks. There was a decision in Limpopo, given the budgetary constraints, to not purchase maths and physical science textbooks from the catalogue, but to use the Siyabula textbooks that was provided by the DDE and not use their budget for that. So the costing in terms of the addendum catalogue is provided in the slide. The modulus for all grades, for grade 4 to 6 and 11, these are grades that were provided for textbooks, was used to inform the delivery. In addition to that, the historical evidence shows that in Limpopo there is a 2% drop in learner numbers per year due to migration and for other reasons. But despite of this, given the master list, there was a 2 to 5% top up on the existing numbers applied for the purchasing of textbooks, simply to cater for any shortages as a result of a school having increased numbers as a result of the migration across districts, across schools. This was signed off by the provincial department and accepted as the only distribution list. Then, in terms of the ordering, as I did earlier mentioned, that the grade provided for was grade 4 to 6 and 11, that the grade 10 was provided for in the previous year, that the 7, 9 and the 12 would be provided for 2014. I will go quickly through this. Just to say that the orders were placed on the 7th of September and publishers were required to provide all stock by the 12th of October 2012. The other information I've already mentioned. These are the quantities, excuse me, of books in terms of the grade 11, with notice that a teacher guide, then a book, meaning textbook, and then for accounting, there was exercise books as provided as well by relevant respective publishers. So the total quantity of books being 1.142 million books for grade 11 that's provided. Then, with respect to the grades 4 to 6, these were provided in the following subjects from the catalogue. First edition language, home language, life orientation, mathematics, and social science. Natural science are not included here because it was provided by the DB in terms of procurement. And these are the quantities that are provided in terms of the components, its core readers, graded reader series, teacher guide and textbook, taking up a total quantity of 3.8 million. Just boring you with the detail of a warehouse management system, it was very important, however, that there was a proper system in place that would track the receipting process as well as the distribution process. And this was all enabling to quantify the stock as well as to see what was provided to each school specifically in respect of each subject, each grade, and numbers, quantity. Again, the distribution in respect of the web-based access to PODs allows for online tracking as well as vehicles that were sent to schools had a special vehicle tracking and even signatures that could be provided on a tracking device in schools where providers of the textbook or the consignment of textbooks arrive at a school. And this is in particular reference to the handheld scanner for real-time reporting, capturing, and scanning of theory. It was important also to monitor the picking and tracking process. So as such, there was training of a total of 100 staff members for the picking and tracking process. Each staff member was provided with a unique barcode. The barcode was scanned together with the individual pick slip for each school, so they could be tracked back to a picker as to what was picked for a school, who picked it, and what was the rate of picking. Remembering the opening slide in terms of trying to get the book to the schools in the right time. So if this is rank process on the picking and tracking, then that would have effect on the ultimate delivery time as well. So, again, going to delivery, there was the seeking against the orders. There was a pick and track list per school, which measures the original order for the schools and total quantity orders. The sign up of stock leaving the central warehouse, the seeking of stock at the central warehouse, allocation of stock per circuit and distributor, and the handover of stock to the distributor per circuit. Then there was, in respect of the delivery to the schools, these were all monitored during the different phases. School principals were required to check quantities against the POD, the proof of delivery, that's the acronym, and sign off. And the proof of delivery was returned to the district warehouse and recorded in a register against each distributor against each school. All of these proof of delivery were collated and captured on an online. There were specific requirements for the proof of delivery, which is the quantity of each item, the printed name and surname and identity number and signature of the person delivering to each school, as well as the person receiving. The date and the time of the delivery, as well as the school stamp for reporting on correct language and shortages for each school. It's also a call center where schools can call in, and the information on the proof of delivery itself allows for a school to indicate if there was any shortages and whether it was delivered in the correct language. Now, there was a phase one delivery that took place up to December, and the total number of schools were delivered to. There was unfortunately a few private schools, which was recalled, and that gave you total number of schools, not necessarily the quantities of textbooks, but total number of schools that received textbooks in the first phase of delivery. These are the quantities of books. In the quantities I showed you earlier, it includes core readers and graded readers and all of the other components as well, but I provided a feedback on the sum of the original quantity of textbooks and teacher guides and the sum of the delivered quantity of textbooks and teacher guides in the first phase. Okay. As you see, then there was some short that was when the school reports were short in regards to learner numbers as well, and there was some return due to language as well. Okay. If you aggregate or you average that out, in terms of the number of schools, it becomes quite minimal. Then there was a phase two delivery, which was a mop up, and again, going back to the schools, based on information that was reported by the schools as well, required initial delivery to the schools. There was a challenge when we speak about in-transit mop-up delivery. There was a challenge due to the rainy season, and I think there was about 20 bridges that were washed away in the Limpopo province, which did not provide access in terms of roads, and special 4x4 vehicles had to be hired by the service provider to be able to deliver to schools as well. An additional mock-up process put into action. And may I say that it is a huge challenge in terms of finding a one-on-one match in terms of the textbooks per learner, especially with the migration of learners at the start of the school year. So you would find some schools have largely increased numbers, and especially those schools that have done well, there seems to be a movement towards those schools, an attraction to those schools. And because of the discrepancy or the increased numbers, should I say, there was a phase three delivery. And this phase three delivery was to try to get books closer to the schools to reduce the delivery time of getting the books too far out schools. So books were then moved from the central warehouse to district warehouses in each of the 10 districts. And the books were distributed in accordance with the earlier supplied books in phase 1 and phase 2, so that the books can be easily obtained from the district warehouse. The district managers then worked with the department to inform schools, and schools that were close by either collected or where schools that were at a distance from the central warehouse, vehicles were provided to take these books to the school, in addition to additional staff provided at the district warehouse to expedite the final mock-up stage. They had a process of monitoring and controlling the stock distribution, where schools had to fully inform the books that were required in addition, as well as the providing school stamps. And these are implicitly being captured in terms of what each school has been provided. So a final analysis of this will be done on the 8th of March to ascertain what is the final closeout in terms of provisions. Now, why is there discrepancy? And these discrepancies are not restricted to this portal, but to all provinces. And mock-up is taking place in all 9 provinces at present. And this is due to, as I said, stated earlier, migration of learners across schools, districts and provinces, schools starting new grades, schools changing the language of learning and teaching, incorrect languages in terms of the process of providing this information, dual medium schools on the data list, returns for closed schools, merged schools, and change of schools addresses. This is the quantity of books that are provided at district offices to do the final mock-up stage, and we're looking at a final stage that will be completed by the earliest of next week, at the earliest next week. In respect of a conclusion, it's very important to understand, and when I say conclusion, I just want to provide some kind of evidence after this Honourable Chair, if you would allow me. It is the understanding of the CAPS implementation. And there's been a number of requests with respect to page 8, 7, 8, and 9, and grade 12. Now, one must remember that grade 10 and grade 12, 11 and 12 were provided with textbooks last year in 2012. In 11 and 12, it was the top. Grade 10, it was full depth implementation. The grade 10, particularly, one needs to look at now what was the receival rate as far as grade 10 is concerned in schools, particularly in the form of for there to be a market request for grade 10 books. Then there was also for a number of claims for non-delivery where it has been shown, where evidence has been shown to refute the claims of non-delivery. And the Minister did mention about the online system and a visit to the COP on the 8th of November, where one would be able to see see this proof of delivery. And the department has been able to provide evidence as well. And if not, where there are shortages and so on, be able to mediate. And we're not saying that the textbook delivery is not without challenges. It is with a lot of challenges. There's about 4,000 schools in Limpopo, and the department is making every endeavor to ensure that every school has its full quota of textbooks. Then also to say that there shouldn't be a confusion between workbooks and textbooks. The department, the DBE, provides workbooks for certain grades and for certain subjects in each grade. Then textbooks are provided for all subjects. And the attempt is to try and get a one-on-one match between the grade, the subject, and the learner. However, if there is a shortage, it doesn't obviate the school using its initiative where learners will be able to share textbooks, unlike the workbooks, where each learner is provided with a workbook. So I just wanted to make those points in respect of what is attempted. And at this point in time, as the report will come later about provision of textbooks across the nation, but particularly zooming in on the Popo, it is, we would say, over 90% in terms of provision. What we would like to be at is 100%. And if there's any information that comes through on shortages or claims of non-delivery, we would immediately check that. If it's necessary to provide for a shortage, we would immediately put that in action and execute to a school that requires those deliveries. School has been coming to us, and as far as possible, we have been able to resolve many of the issues at hand. And maybe in terms of evidence, you know, Madam Chair, if you allow me, just to go through this. Okay. I just wanted to quickly. Madam Chair, if we look at this particular file, it gives you each school in alphabetical order. And you would see, if I select in Masheko, it gives you everything that has been provided to this particular school. And if we go to the right hand, you will see that there's an original quantity of books required based on the master list that was required by this master list. And what was delivered to that school.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Just select any school if you. Okay, I'll take the first one. So this is the first school. Unfortunately, it doesn't come up as all of the columns. So I'm speaking about AM Meshekwe. Yeah. This is the school. It's the same school. Okay. And you see that the components here are teacher guides and textbooks that have been provided for each subject. And this is the textbook that we provided for the 11. So if we look at the quantities required per component for each subject. Now you notice that the accounting has three components, and then each of those is provided here in terms of the original quantity and the delivered quantity. Then it also has a column if there was any short and if there was any return quantity. Okay, so we would have then a report for each school, you know, so that we can be able to track and go back to the proof of delivery and so on so that we are able to look at, okay, where the discrepancy is, so that we can remediate as far as possible. And then, if I can sort of provide you with a proof of delivery, for example, this is part of main, which is the, I believe there was some visit to school yesterday, and this school, with respect to what was provided to the school, you notice that whoever has received these books has ticked everything off. And then you see the name of the person, as well as the person number and ID number and the school pen. So we will be able to pull out four different schools.
I'd like to thank Mr. Sabat for this report, because it was very administrative, and I'll just open it to the members, because the reason why we asked for this report was that there were many reports within the papers when it comes to especially Limpopo itself, and we did visits in Limpopo, but we wouldn't like to preempt our report. But we thought it would be good for members to interrogate this. Then as members, we will decide what will we do. Because I think it's important for each member to be satisfied that work was done or work was not done. I think that's going to be important. So we must just start, I'll start with Honorable Nina, and then yes? Yeah?
If you are still going to get a report on the status of church delivery in other provinces, I believe Chairperson maybe there will be challenges and things that are almost similar. Why don't you get the report so that as we interrogate certain book for reports closer to save time and also zoom in to the whole country? Yes, we have the book specifically, but
thanks a lot, but how do members feel? How do members? On Moshishi, then what's that? Honorable Lapo. I think are you two new members today? From where are you? Out of NGL. Thank you. Because we asked one party to send, you know, other members to the meeting. Thank you. Ishishi?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. My name is to support Honorable Kina for the condition she was saying that she owns the whole report. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable
Apple.
Thank you.
Of which that was the proposal that technically we are
are going to do that. For now, I don't really expect it that the way the petition comes out, because politics or whatever, we haven't played for 6 years. One thing is really what much is happening in the province, and the time is truly more and that is the proposal that I need. I agree with that.
Thanks a lot for that. I'm just giving the answer last more, the last chance to proceed, and then I'll just make my own ruling. Thank you. Answer last more.
This committee has not made a decision to hear against technical delivery performance. We have not made that decision, and there is some kind of discussion. First time some of discussion, in fact, is via a client that has been presented by this morning, and it gets to pay that we have promises, there might also be problems, similar problems that are used in similar ways. So that is really for the name. What is a very critical interaction and information that we are all prepared to have today? And I appeal to you, Chairperson, to allow for the
I'm just looking at the report. Could you just tell me, Mr. Mulieri, the Constitution has got a quarterly report. And I see the quarterly report as each program in it, as it should be. We're more or less to speak about LCMM for our whole of South Africa. Big slide, Mulieri.
No, thank you, Chairperson. I must also indicate that the level of detail that covers for the report is not covered in the quarterly report for obvious reasons. This is a quarterly report that covers a host of things. The matter is dealt with under program 2, and then I think it starts from slide number 38. It gives an overall performance of all the 9 provinces, and from that information, slide 38.
Because, like you say, we are here for the learners. Let us go through the quarterly report. And once you complete the quarterly report, keep your questions on the POMO. Because I see it is on page 38, it is on page 59, and it is on page 40.
Yeah.
And then we just speak to everything.
Yeah.
Because I think it's going to help us when it comes to this process itself. Thank you. Now, who's going to start with the quarterly report?
Chairperson, the quarterly report is divided into two parts. The first part will be dealt with by the Chief Director responsible for strategic planning,
Ms.
Carol Nuka-Deliwe. The second part of the report is the financial report of the third quarter, which as usual will be dealt with by the CFO, the Chief Financial Officer of the Department. The first part, Chairperson, covers mainly the key developments in the sector, issues relating to learning outcomes and learner performance, issues relating to key developments such as the food safety in respect of infrastructure, the RTD in particular, as well as the provincial equitable share allocation for infrastructure, but also the key developments relate to how linked to the National Development Plan as it was accepted by Parliament in September last year. So those are key issues, but will also be reflecting quite closely how we are, the progress that we are making in meeting the performance targets as they are set in the annual performance plan. Thank you, Chairman.
Yes,
can I
say something? I think that is the report that God sent to us. Now God sent us, we received it this morning. And I'd like to make some kind of a ruling on the board itself, because as optional, rather easier in the corporate report. As it takes time when it comes to our report, we are supposed to receive the reports before the time. So that a person, I should at least go through it, all reports before I get into the meeting, I prepare myself. But with this meeting, I couldn't prepare, because I have something in front of me. So let us go on with the work, let us stop, and then as we go along, then we interrogate. When it comes to LDSM, we do the whole of our Africa, and we get this report that you gave us now. And then with the others, we just look in general at things. I'm not taking any hands, because I think I'm going to waste my time now. Because this report is 126 pages long. And I want you to do it by now 10:20. By 11 o'clock, it should be completed, that we could have ample time for interrogation. You know, at least an hour. And then our hour for the department will answer.
On a point of order.
Yes?
The order of the day are two methods. Limpopo delivery, textbook, and then the other one is the quarterly report. Now, Jefferson, on a point of order, I just want to know, if we continue, whether you will not allow a situation where we go directly, if we do the quarterly report, we go directly to the LCSM and leave out the other so that we can deal with the first report on Limpopo and do the business. Because a chairperson, this is a very complex, as you said, 126. So we will go through 126 slides and come back to a very important issue later on. Then we will conflate matters and we will not do justice to what's supposed to be beneath. That's a point of order.
I think we're trying to cloud the matter. I'm not taking any people to speak on it. I don't want the matter to cloud it now. We said, let us go through. Because there is LTSM here. And when it comes to the LTSM, we can look at Limpopo's report too. If people feel we go through this whole report, that portion is important to them, then you get our questions on it. Because I made a ruling, let us be busy until 11 o'clock. Because we are not entertaining anything else now. On the book now. Let us do our work. Because if we're not going to do our work, we won't get through this report.
Without delaying the meeting, I think you didn't rule on the point of order. What I suggest...
No, but I think, let us continue. Because if we're going to second part the whole time in this meeting, we won't get through this report, and we are not going to achieve what we want to achieve today, the quarter report, and then the report on the state of delivery of in the country with specific reference from Limpopo. Because there is a delivery of textbooks within the country, and this one is only on the Limpopo. Thank you. Ms. Arbo Mponshane.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the department made this difficult for us by submerging the report on other provinces with the rest of the report. Because the item of today is raised. Report on status of text delivery in the country with specific reference to the Limpopo province. What the department should have done in the, together with the Limpopo province should have juxtaposed that with the report on the other provinces. But they have made it difficult for us by submitting the report on other provinces with the whole of other things. So perhaps the compromise could have been with two Limpopo. Then go straight to the section that tells with the status of food delivery in other provinces and have that done together and as the topic, the item for today indicates. But a loyal member, I'm always advised by the ruling of the chairperson.
I think it's my mistake. I shouldn't have asked that because I wanted to deal with that before everything. But they look feel differently. Because of this, I should have left the agenda as the quarterly report and then we see the whole course of the report itself, and then question, and then, you know, then I shall think, instead of questioning the report now, because it's a plum combo in, because you offer it, the department should have asked and given us something totally separate. And the thing that is very important that we do look at the quarterly report, because besides having the procurement in the delivery of textbooks, we have the CD in it and all those important things that we have to do today. So let us just start and then give a question, because we're all going to be here to question both reports. Please stay with me, because I think I will also have the wrong by taking this out, because I want to deal with it first, you know, before we went into something else. And the thing is that, like I said, department, give your work to us before the time. That, you know, I can go to, like, come into the meeting, this is in this report, this is in that report. So let us just talk, and then keep your questions, because everyone will be so enlightened when we come to the end. And I only want you to speak on 132 slide. I want you to speak to 11 o'clock. That we have enough time to interrogate. Thank you. All right. Matt?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. The quarterly report is the quarterly report for quarter three, the end of quarter three of 2012-13 financial year, as reflected in the annual performance plan, as the DDG had mentioned earlier. So I'm going to speak a little bit, and maybe because of time issues, summarize some of the slides. So not all 122 slides of detail or necessarily, but it's in front of you should you require it. And in the quarter under in review, there were significant achievements in terms of metrics, the National Senior Certificate. In terms of the National Senior Certificate, as all the honourable members are aware, and that, in terms of performance, in terms of district, but also performance at the lower end of the lower end schools, at the lower quintiles. We've also been looking at, in terms of the completion rate of young people in the general population, that has improved by around 7 percentage points since 2002 in respect of 22 to 25 year olds. So we have an internal check, but we're also doing monitoring related to broader household survey. And our national assessment results were also released in this quarter, and we have some improvements in terms of the encouraging improvements in terms of the institutionalizing the annual national assessment, but also the diagnostics that we get through this annual national assessment. For the first time, grade 9 sat and showed up areas for urgent intervention in the system. We've also had a report on LTSM just now, so I will reflect a little bit on that when we come to that section. And also the DDG spoke about the Strategic Infrastructure Program 13, provide an opportunity for accelerated delivery in this particular area. And again, the detail will be in the following presentation slide. Particularly in this period, there's been work done with the NPC, National Planning Commission, in respect of the National Development Plan. The school monitoring survey results, as well as an independent evaluation on the use of literacy and numeracy workbooks and an assessment of textbook quality was done in this particular quarter. And in future quarters, we will be, as the Department of Basic Education, will be reporting on the independent assessment of these two things. We've also started some work on the implementation of the post-provisioning norms. The branch responsible will also be using that to inform the work in future, in terms of the efficiency of deployment and allocation of teachers, but also the quality, addressing quality issues through teacher development and other interventions. at provincial and national level. The first NIDU report we are anticipating should be presented to the Minister of Basic Education by the end of the financial year. So in our next report, we'll be reporting on some of that. If the Minister, when the Minister has applied her mind to the NIDU report. There's also been a huge emphasis in the last year and a half, if you like, at the centralized level, at district level, and even state level, on quarterly reporting. So a lot of the work that we've been doing in terms of assessment quality in all its different dimensions have been incorporated to quarterly reporting tools for district and provincial oversight, as well as school level oversight in the areas particularly related to curriculum, quality, delivery, and provision. We have, as we had, I think the portfolio committee had received a report, a short report on official information in terms of just applying information that we use to all partners so that it can be accessible to all partners in basic education and education in the broader sense of the word. So that was a presentation that was done to the portfolio committee by the branch responsible. In this particular quarter, a national leadership dialogue was also convened by the Minister for Basic Education early in December, really targeting key civil society formation, business and other NGO and other representatives to apply the minds to really engaging with key challenges within education, but also basic education, but also provide a forum, if you like, a platform for apolitical inclusive engagement on how to develop the basic education sector even further. That was a very, very important achievement aligned to the NDP requirements and the NDP priorities of engaging broader social and community mobilization in support of the sector. In terms of the programs, the budget programs of the DBE, there are five. And the honourable members, honourable chairperson, they are on this slide. I'll go through them in order, from program one right through to program five. Just in terms of most of our targets, really, in the program, most of them are annual, but what we're doing quarterly is to provide a cumulative progress report, firstly. Secondly, progress report as reported in the last quarters separately, and thirdly, even for annual targets, progress within the quarter that relates to the annual target and underpins the annual target. The important thing is not necessarily just the numbers. Numbers are important, but also the work that underpins those numbers. So, for program one and administration, basically the sort of corporate imminent, if you like, of Department of Basic Education to improve targeted support, HR capacity, and brand and communication policy and legislative development. Achievements in this particular quarter, quarter three, advertisement and filling of very some of the very high profile strategic posts. Interviews are held and 26 appointments were made, ranging from management appointments to middle management, and some more junior positions. The key posts of education, labor relations, conditions of service director, director exams and assessment, and labor relations were filled during the third quarter. And that has a lot of influence in terms of the way they handle HR issues in the sector broadly, as well as within the DBE. In terms of international relations and multilateral affairs, again, program one, there was interaction in the field of math, science, and technology with the government of Cuba to conduct a... So the DBE is developing a partnership to conduct an exchange program for tutors in the field of math, science, and technology, underpinning the work that's already been done in terms of this particular strategy, but also strengthening work with that particular country because of the best practice in that area. The School Capacity and Innovation Program was launched in a partnership with USAID as well as business JP Morgan, etc., and the Elmer Foundation. So it will make a contribution, very important contribution to education, and a model, if you like, of partnerships in this particular, in, on the continent, but also broader. It's aligned to the global education strategy of USA and focuses on improving primary grade reading outcomes. We find that the majority of the problem at the lower levels of lower grades related to reading and comprehension by our learners, and this will be a good opportunity, if you like, to strengthen that classroom and school management practice in all the African schools. A delegation from Zimbabwe was hosted, and the training of math and science teachers for South Africa, an agreement was reached on training of math and science teachers for South Africa. The DBE also met with the Chinese Education Attaché in anticipation of signing an agreement during the BRICS summit, the forthcoming BRICS summit later on in the year. The DBE also convened a meeting of the NATOP, the South African National Commission for UNESCO, with the participation from other sister departments, arts and culture, science and technology, etc. In terms of media liaison, a lot of work on social networking around key areas of quality improvement, quality revision, AMA, NSE exams, textbooks, curriculum, but also the use of the results of these to then be able to make the right career decisions as well as to guide in terms of teacher development and school improvement. There's just more information on social networking and responses, etc. In terms of research and evaluation, there is work I had mentioned earlier on the household survey, which is carried out by staff in South Africa, but also the evaluations that have been planned or that are in process, including that for grade R and the nutrition program, was being explored in terms of its impact. And some of that work will be done in future years, but there was a lot of work around collecting information and data related to this particular intervention. Again, the emphasis here is impact and outcome rather than just resources allocated or spent, but actually what value for money are we getting in terms of the trends so far, historical investment, but also what does it mean for future generations and future learners in this sector, as well as those that are currently being taught. So a new tool for management performance assessment was released by the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation called the Impact Tool. And it basically assesses the quality of management practice in national departments. Example of national departments. It was piloted this year. And it's really to pinpoint specific areas of management performance, institutional performance are in need of improvement. The impact was administered and submitted on the 23rd of November 2017, and the moderators were based on specialist information will then be fed back to the department for their improvement. In terms of program, one output, the numbers, if you like. The first column speaks to the performance indicators as articulated in APP. The second column speaks to the annual target as per the APP, and the third quarter target, where they exist, where they're not annual targets, and third column, and the last column speaks to progressive, cumulative, as well as quarter specific progress. So for this particular indicator, we have a situation where cumulatively 179 incidences, if you like, of training occurred in the department, and we're on track, if you like, for this particular target. In the future APPs, we will be tightening up in terms of the types of training activities that people go and the relationship to the need in the department. In terms of internships, we are spot on the target of 55 interns. We started off with more interns, but a lot of them have been absorbed into the department, but also other departments. And really that's the intention of the internship program, to expose young people to opportunities for growth and personal development. Employment outcomes of interns, as indicated, the target, new target is 30%, and cumulatively said 2 interns out of 3 on target for that particular indicator. Similarly then, reports highlighting selective role and participation in multilateral bodies and international affairs in educational activities is compiled biannually, and that report is a biannual target, as in 2 reports in the year. And that, that is on track again, and there's a report that's available. The report on legal cases instituted against the basic education sector, again, and also legal cases concluded in the education sector. The report, these reports for the legal cases are compiled and available, and I believe that recently there was a presentation on this particular issue, and the second report on legal cases concluded will be compiled by the end of the financial period. Again, it's an annual target, and it's being compiled as we speak. Program 2 then is the engine of the department. Curriculum, policy, support and monitoring. The goal related to action plan is slide 25. Just the what goals, if you like, the goals in terms of the levels of mastery of different in different areas, numeracy, math, etc. I won't go into that as the honorable members are very well acquainted with these. In this quarter we had the matric results and a confirmation of improvement in quality, as well as in improvement in equity, which are reflected in other international and national assessments of quality, including the team. This second slide 27 also confirms this, as well as the slide following. There's also some information on slide 29 about a comparison between the National Senior Certificate and ANA district performance above 50%, as well as district performance in terms of ANA. We've tried to see where which provinces have a balance, if you like, of emphasis in investment and emphasis in support in terms of the higher grade versus the lower grade. And you can see the 81, in terms of the 81 districts, where the emphasis is, whether it's Montana at the lower grade, 1 to 6 and 9, or whether it's mainly in terms of B12. So, ideally we want to be in the first column after the provincial column. And a lot of the others are emphasizing the metric support and under-emphasizing ANA support. There's more detail in this, and we can do that. We can report on that later on. So in terms of the provincial areas of emphasis, this is just slide 30, just is the narrative version of slide 29. And it has implications for the balance of resource development in the system. Program 2 strategic objectives are articulated in slide 31. In terms of e-education, the curriculum, math, physical science and technical subjects, quality learning materials, and national norms for school libraries, pre-grade 1 education, and special needs support amongst learners. So, achievements then. CAP implementation on track. CAP senior phase implementation in 2014 already work has been done in terms of printing and braining. And the audit of reading programs has thrown up areas for supporting this particular area. So it will be used to strengthen what provinces are doing in terms of supporting reading performance. Problem areas in math in grade 4. Intervention program has been developed, and again, the teacher training aspect of that is being used currently to inform what happens in underperforming districts. The study guide for literature has been completed, and folklore will also be addressed in the study guide. the highlights and achievements in the particular quarter, NSA Lekota, occurred in October 2012 and really focused on what needs to be done within the sector, sharing best practices and consolidating lessons learned. In terms of CD, I had spoken about the impact evaluation of grade R, and that's ongoing, as well as a basic list of resourcing, which was compiled with provincial colleagues. In terms of inclusive education, slide 36, a two-day workshop in Braille was conducted at schools, at 22 schools for the blind, for teachers at those schools. Adaptation was completed for grade 79 workbooks. The sign language, as well as augmentative and alternative communication, was developed. And the DB explored different brain position possibilities in terms of production of services to expedite the provision of material to learners in schools for the blind. The service providers were also engaged to develop training material for teachers on guidelines for full service schools, guidelines for special schools, and guidelines on curriculum differentiation. In terms of ICT, slide 37 speaks to the provision, improvement in provision, foundation phase DVDs, telecom connections, and TOM usage. The LTSM issues have been spoken about. There's an interprovincial forum convened by the National Department, which meets once a quarter. In addition, representatives from publisher associations, CFOs, supply chain management, curriculum, and LTSM coordinators attend these meetings and review, if like, the provisioning at these meetings and provide progress reports. Between October and December, weekly progress reports on the delivery of LTSM to schools were provided, reports are provided on this. Slide 39 then speaks, sorry, the numbering has been lost to that slide, but the highlight of that slide is LTSM as of 28th January 2013, the status of textbook and stationary delivery is reflected below by province. So the second column, the textbook delivered to schools by the EPE. And the third column speaks to textbooks stationary delivered to schools. Okay. And similarly then, the LTSM support material, in terms of delivery of grade 1 to 9, workbook, which commenced at the beginning of October and completed in November 2013. By province, the delivery status of the workbook is as follows. Overall, national average 98.1% delivery of the workbook, and that 1.9% really speaks to issues that have been highlighted in the first presentation around data, around data information shifting. And the 1.9% really also is catered for in terms of extra deliveries to district offices and district level structures to be able to sort out those delivery problems closer to the schools. So on average then, textbook delivered to schools 99% as of 28th of January and stationary delivery to schools 96% as of 20th of January. Schools with access to electronic content, progress reports in slide 41. The target for the year 1,650 and the cumulative achievement for this indicator is just under 4,500. So it has been achieved and the target has been exceeded. In terms of digitized workbook aligned resources available for use in underperforming schools, we had indicated two of these in the annual performance plan. And to date, three sets have been developed for natural science and technology for grade 4, grade 5, and grade 6, which have been digitized. They are available on website, their workbooks, but they are also the teacher guide for using these workbooks, so as to provide support in those particular areas that are very critical in terms of the pipeline for HR. The e-education strategy has been developed and edited in terms of the progress for quarter three, and subject advisors orientated in CAP, they have seen the progress for the year was 3,000, and the target has been exceeded. 3,035 subject advisors from the intermediate and grade 11 have been trained. In addition, in the Northern Cape, there's been a lot of movement in terms of the introduction of EFAL, English first additional language, in grade 1 and 2. Okay, thank you. Okay, then in terms of 542, the number of personnel trained in multi-grade teaching, probably the target was 140, and cumulative 151 have been trained. In terms of the different levels of grade literacy, numeracy, and language, the ANA results show that there's still quite a way to go in terms of our expectation and target for grade 3 and grade 6 achievements in literacy and numeracy, as well as in grade 9. And the baseline, really the target, because this is the first time that we're sitting grade 9, we are working on developing the targets with the Department of Performance Management and Evaluation, Monitoring and Evaluation in the presidency. Slide 44 then speaks to an annual target of 149,000. This target was developed in 2009, and the data in 2009 did not anticipate the demographic trend that has been picked up by Statistics South Africa. It also didn't anticipate the effects of something that happened 12 years ago in grade 1 in terms of the age admission policy, which was instituted in 1999, and the effects were felt 2-3 years after that. So the 2011 grade 12 cohort was the smallest cohort that we've ever had, we've had in the last 15 years. And that is because of these two issues. We are speaking to the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation, as well as other colleagues in higher education, because they also have been alerted to this, and we are looking at the indicator in terms of percentages rather than absolute numbers, precisely because it's something that's out of our control, and something that we would like to alert the honorable members to. In this particular respect. So the target of 32% of a 12 graduate, 32% of the cohort, is still in review. It has shifted from 19.9% in 2008, but again, this demographic shift, or shrinkage if you like, that we are seeing, we just want to bring to your attention. And similarly then, we've got a pass rate for math of 54% in 2012, improving from 46.3% in 2011. And for physical science, 61.3% in 2012, improved from 53.4% in 2011. So even though there's larger numbers, and the pass rate is getting higher, in terms of our target, we're looking at percentages in this particular area for the reasons that I outlined. And then the pass rate for 2012 was 73.9% and the target was 20%. So we're fairly confident that we will get, in terms of percentages, we'll get to the targets that we set for ourselves. The percentage of schools having access to library information services in this state, 60% for ADP. And preliminary data show that we are at 57% in terms of minimum standards for library access. And the vendor. Then these are the targets and the progress for the next two slides. Very good. The target has been achieved. District officials that have trained officials in FIA. they have been, the sales strategy was completed during the term, and that's a progress in terms of grade 1 learners who have received formal grade R. That target has been achieved, and the household survey information really encouraging in that respect. In terms of program 3, I want to go very quickly to the achievement. This is the, in terms of IQMS, this is the slide 4056, shows the number of schools visited in terms of metrics, exam oversight, as well as the oversight in terms of distribution, etc. So the oversight of the metric examination, the IQMS moderators were used in this respect. In further, 1,200 schools were also visited to monitor the process of summative evaluation, and that's the provincial breakdown of the visit carried out in quarter 3 on slide 57. The slide 58 shows the teacher supply picture. We know at the end of the third quarter of the academic year, 6,200 educators age 30 or younger were appointed for the first time in the system this year. So this is very encouraging, around 2,000 roughly per quarter appointed. And what we have also done is, but this is something that fluctuates throughout the year. So this table just shows the appointment status for July to September 2012, as well as the provinces. Exiting the system, the slide 59 shows that by province and the reasons for exit. CAPS implementation I've spoken about, and that this slide 60 just shows the extent of that, as well as the use of the activation of provincial teacher development institutes based on the DBE has started the process of developing norms and standards for these teacher development committees to support the institute based on consultations with existing provincial institutes. The teacher union collaboration, the expenditure per candidate, per head or per capita, is included on slide 61 for the different unions with whom the DBE and the provincial departments have partnered. Teacher unions are required to train on the following programs, and slide 62 just provides the menu, if you like, of the different teacher development initiatives that unions are partnering with the basic education sector to improve teacher capacity and teacher development. In terms of the partnership between the DBE and the private independent schools, the independent schools have provided a platform to produce math, science, and English language training to teachers for new joins, new teachers, so that they can be trained on that platform and then recruited into the public sector. So it's providing an opportunity for expanding supply. Similarly, Funza Lushaka bursary program is showing yielding fruit in terms of the work, and we are, in the 2013 financial year, we're looking at ways of consolidating and strengthening that particular program. Slide 54 looks at the tools, the policy related to districts, and the honorable members have just received the presentation on that, so I'll move very quickly, as well as information on availability of key documents for management and leadership at school level. Program 3 outputs I have spoken about, and slide 66. 67, 68, and 68 basically put in tabular form the narrative that we just came through. In terms of program 4, the infrastructure situation is reflected on slide 71, the problem, in terms of project allocated budget and budget spend as at the end of quarter 3. The average spend is 64% at the end of quarter 3, and it should be anything on average around 70-75%, and some provincial variation, as you can see. And slide 72 just puts into narrative what slide 71 was saying. Similarly, in terms of the education infrastructure grant, slide 74 speaks to the provincial spend at the end of quarter three, as well as the allocated budget by province. In terms of our city, the expenditure was 476 million and 423 million has been made in advance to agents, by implementing agents as indicated in the table. I've spoken about the examination, so I'm moving very quickly, and Anna, very quickly. I will just speak a little bit about international assessments because the proving slide 81 shows that what we're getting in terms of our national assessments are also showing in terms of confidence level for reading at the 5 level, very level and also performance. Team study shows pretty similarly what was observed in the health study as well as Anna. Performance is still at the lower end. It's improved off a very low base, and the improvement is 50% more than the expected average improvement in any other country. And TIM is an OECD developed country study, and it shows that South Africa had exceeded improvement, average improvement by 50%, but off a low base. So it's between 2002 and 2011. The infrastructure issues, I think I mentioned, so I'll move very, very quickly. And the detail of progress on replacing inappropriate schools through ACD is on slides 84 and 85. Slide 87 just speaks to the work on school monitoring and visits, and oversight visits by the planning, delivery and oversight unit. And this talks to really the fact that school opening and preparation were really not a huge problem this year. They've been institutionalized. Schools are ready, they're open, people are ready to teach. What is of concern is what happened within schools in terms of curriculum oversight, timetabling, etc., school management plan. The QLC and provincial monitoring calendars and features on slide 88, and the detail of the outputs related to program 4 are on slide 89 onwards, and I've spoken a bit about that. Slide 95 just speaks to the percentage of students attending education institutions and efficiency levels in terms of the students who are enrolled in grade 4 and also grade 7. In terms of program 5, educational enrichment services, program 5 is really to support to improve the quality of learning and teaching and looks at psychosocial support, looks at health, looks at nutrition issues. The Integrated School Health Program was launched in October 2012, and Swane District is one of the pilot sites for the National Health Insurance Initiative. So through the primary healthcare initiative under the NHI pilot, we're looking at improving a more coordinated, integrated approach to health provision in the sector. There's also work being done in terms of training educators to implement sexual and reproductive health programs for learners. We find that this is very important, the safety issues, etc. Those are opportunities, if you like, for training educators in handling these issues. The National School Nutrition Program, again, the quality and the depth, if you like, of reach of the nutrition program is being strengthened on a quarterly basis, but also we have a lot of work that's being done in terms of early child development sites. Monitoring visits were taken to 22 schools in 4 provinces across the country just to examine quality provision in this particular area. The GEM-VEM Health Education Movement and Boys Education Movement is a partnership program between various agencies, including the Department of Basic Education and Higher Education. and young people, if you like, are advised on subject choice, career advice, life skills, etc., as well as prevention of risk behavior leading to teenage pregnancy, drug abuse, infection, HIV infection, rape, violence, etc. So there's a lot of and about 1,000 learners in two provinces are covered in this particular quarter. So the next few slides, we need to look at a particular target in this particular program, and I won't dwell on them. In general, we are on target, we are on track for the annual target to be met, and the majority of quarterly targets has been achieved in across the program. Thank you.
I'll just ask to see if I'll check you around up now on the Manchester meeting. Don't be too long because we'd like to push in the report. Because they are on the initial terms. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Member. I'll take too much time on the process. This slide indicates a total budget that is available to the department. I must just indicate that we did receive a rollover. Unfortunately, that slide is not included here, and we are referring to adjusted appropriation. There were areas that did not have budget allocation because of invoices being displayed from the previous financial year. That allocation was made in the adjusted appropriation. And 23% of the total allocation of the budget is for transfer, and the remaining 26% is for areas like compensation of employees and learners and moderators, earmarked funds, specifically and exclusively appropriated. That one refers to the infrastructure backlog run, and then departmental operations and departmental projects. The expenditure for the third quarter for the year amounts to 11,164 million, and this one it includes transfers as I indicated in the previous slide. The bulk of the allocation is transfers, and we have transferred to conditional grants 8.814 billion, and public entities 703 million, and other transfers 2.5 million. The remainder of the expenditure is 1.644 million. And that was spent as indicated below. Now this slide only indicates expenditure per program. Some of the expenditure, for instance, program 2 might look like it's underspending, but it's not. The bulk of the expenditure there is for Karigude and workbooks, and we have since received invoices that we are spending for workbooks and for printing. The only thing that is still outstanding for workbooks is the delivery invoice for the financial year. And then for Karigude, it's for stipends for the educators that are conducting classes. That is normally finalized in the last quarter of the financial year. And then the other one that is showing a bit of low spending there is program 4. That one includes the final transfer for the EIG conditional grant and the allocation for the backlog grant. And then program 1, the main area there is the payment for the building that we are occupying as DBs. And this one is just showing expenditure economic classification. This one is also in a bit of detail. It's also the economic classification. Maybe just to indicate that examiners and moderators are low because we normally receive the claims after the end of year exam. So those things are paid during January and February, hence the 12.9% spending. And the other transfer, the main one is the UNESCO transfer. That one also we received the invoice in the first quarter, in the last quarter of the financial year. We have received the invoice and it's probably being paid by now, but it was showing 19% spending on that item. And then I've talked about Wendy's and Karibu under earmarked funds. And then even projects. there is also the spending on collaboration with unions. Training is being conducted as we speak, or it could have been completed, I'm not 100% sure. But that one also, spending is taking place, and it will reflect in the fourth quarter. This one is just giving us the details, because we were referring to earmark funds in the previous slide. It's just giving us the details of the earmark funds. And as I indicated, an item like curriculum review, we did not have allocation for this year, and in the previous presentation we showed spending, but there was no allocation. It's one of the areas that I referred to where we received the rollover funds. And then the conditional grants are on track, the spending there is on track. The only one that is a bit low is the technical digitalization. And these are the details on the other areas, transfers, public entities, and other transfers. And the remaining slides are just the information that I explained as I was going through the other slides. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks a lot for that report. I think I'm going to open it to questioning, but talk to me when it comes to this report. What I found with this and was like on your city program. You know, there's only a little bit that's speaking on that itself. And I think that's an important program where we as a committee should know what happened under that, even when it comes to infrastructure. You know, the infrastructure grants, there's very little seen. Although you do refer in the report that you'll find out more, you'll tell us more in the first quarter. When it comes to the program on HR, the seat of supply and utilization, exiting the system, I think we should have seen more there, because there are lots of problems when it comes to our PPN. And I don't think we get the feeling that, you know, they, although we know there are problems, that we, you know, come through within this report itself. And I think what comes up a lot to that current coding program of the department on page 48. There we need a full breakdown, because people are always asking for it. Tell us where is it taking place within the province itself. And then caps to no flesh, not a lot of flesh, when it comes to our caps. And we know, and I don't want to preempt the committee report, because on all these things I touched more or less, we do speak about it in the committee report. But I'm going to open it now for questions. And I think, let me give each person 5 questions per person. If you don't need 5, good and well, then you only take 1 or 2. But I think it's a big report, so let us start. Members? Yes?
Are the 5 questions inclusive?
Yes, everything.
Everything.
Yes. Everything. Oh. That's not giving 5. You know, of course, we can, with the time we got now, we can come back again. So that's not giving you 5, so that you don't feel that not asking you enough. You know, you can ask enough. I'll start with you, and you'll go right around. Yes. But now everyone is
going to
ask. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you for the presentation. Chair, many questions. With Limpopo, according to the report, there will be this final, what we call final mock-up on the 8th of this month, thereby admitting that not all tests would have been delivered to that province. The question is, I didn't quite get from the report what that final mock-up will represent in terms of numbers of textbooks or the quantity of books that have not been delivered. That's the first question. The second one is the system of procurement. You're saying we have got the centralized system of procurement. I just want to find out from the department whether or not that system cannot be changed, because it seems cannot be whether a different system cannot be pursued, the system of decentralization, because it seems the system that is being used currently is presenting the department with challenges. That's on books. Then on the other report, I've got two questions. You are saying you are about to conclude a grant in Zimbabwe on the training of math and science teachers by Zimbabwe of the international agreement, if I'm correct, if I read the report correctly. Now, is it because of lack of training facilities locally that you are giving this to Zimbabwe? And what would be the financial implications of such an agreement with Zimbabwe? That was the third one. The fourth one, you're talking of evaluating the effectiveness of textbooks used. This to me sounds a little bit strange. Who will determine the effectiveness of these textbooks? Is it the department? Because the practitioner, the teacher, who's the one who knows how effective that textbook is, will the teacher be involved in that evaluation of the effectiveness of the textbook? Whatever it means, in fact, I find it a little bit awkward, the concept itself. What are the indicators, what are the criteria of declaring that such a textbook is effective? Because to me, not one textbook will serve the purpose of effective teaching by a teacher. And the last one, and the DDG in his summary of what he's going to present talks about the alignment of the activities with the National Development Bank. I didn't hear anything to that effect, because according to the National Development Plan, it talks about the performance testing of teachers. It talks about payment of teachers, which is performance related. I didn't hear all those. If you are saying you are going to align your activities or the department's activities with the National Development Plan, so if we could hear more of what you intend doing as far as the National Development Plan is concerned. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. And I also say that, of course, the quarterly report does give a lot of information. But, Chair, from the outset, let me indicate that there's a lot of information given, but some of us would like it to be simplified in this fashion. For purposes of understanding, that is easier when we are told in this quarter what is it that was supposed to be done, what is it that has been done, and what is it that was not done, and what is the problem. So that it's easy to tell whether what has been done in that quarter is necessarily what was put forward initially, and what becomes the challenge. Because in most of those programs and kind of aspects, you don't get exactly what you're telling. But when we go to oversight ourselves, we get a lot of challenges on the ground, on each and every issue that certain things are not being implemented properly, was that this or that process. What we expect as well at this level is to say, yes, this is what has been done. But we are then, when we do oversight, you know the kind of challenges, you must then be able to say, these kind of problems, this is how they are being sorted. That helps for us to know what has happened, you know, a story. That no, we did this, we did that, we did that, we did that. Fine, we're not necessarily the truth. But we want to know where are the challenges and how are you resolving them. So that we can come to say, but this is what we got, this is what we got when in fact we were there. That on the textbooks in Limpopo in particular, chair or even across what the light of believers, in as much as provinces those various approaches and kinds of systems, in the main, there should be some kind of reconciliation of this particular system. But I'm struggling at times to understand exactly who is responsible in this distribution of technology. Is it necessarily the province? Is it necessarily national? Limpopo, it made a case in point in the sense that as administration and effectively you are expected to have taken over. And let's say it's another province, well, it's not. Are you equally accountable? Yeah. Can we pin you down on certain things? If we say, not frankly, the delivery of textbooks, there's a 32% of them, who's to be blamed in that sense? Is it you? Is it the problem? Well, to me, I think it will need to be clarified. Often, when we press hard, you are told, no, but the province is in charge. At some point, you know, national may need to come and respond here. Who exactly is dealing with that? But for me, the delivery of textbooks each year is also dependent on the retrieval policy. It does not help for you to come here and say, this is what we have delivered. When, in fact, because you did not necessarily retrieve this textbook the previous year, you are not supplementing anything. In fact, there is a shortage in the system. Because the system itself is porous. You know, you are not able to say you will retrieve, let's say, 60-80%, and we are now only buying 20%. If you buy 20%, when the system itself is bleeding, there's only 20% in the system. It means we've got 40%. And nobody accounts for the 60%. Because those will be in the houses of people elsewhere or lost. Now, I'm saying until we are able to deal with the metalizer, we'll continue to have these shortages and not be able to explain much. It will be based on orders and what is supposed to be done each year by the system. Will not be as effective. We have come to know that the delivery of some exam papers or exam material in the Northern Cape, for instance, was done through post office. And that was the thing. A textbook, yes, in the Northern Cape. Yes. What I want to get is to check with the department to what extent are you exploring this approach or system elsewhere in the country so that to some degree you have got a reliable system that can be able to I know you have indicated some system here that probably you are clear in terms of what is going on across the board. And if I remember well, in the previous year, part of why Section 27 if I'm still using their name correctly, I don't want to give names that are not correct. Section 27. If I remember well, why they took the department, if I'm going to court, was not the fact that the department was not able to account for two things. The department was able to say delivery at 94 or whatever percentage. But then they reached a point, Section 27, where they said your data is not available, it's not credible. And started arguing that this cannot be true, and they argued for an independent an independent person or institution that must verify your data. In that case, Professor Mary Matkin was appointed because the department itself had come to agree that probably that data is not reliable. Now I think we need a reliable system, and perhaps the question should be to what extent is your system by now reliable? That it can be trusted, and what you say, if you say delivery is at 98%, to what extent can we believe that indeed it is at 92%, or whatever percent. So the last one, I hope I'm not taken to the first. The very serious.
Last year, the delivery of textbooks was grade 1, 2, 3, and 10. they were focusing on 4, 5, 6, 11, something like that. Yes. And we know that just the target that we have as a country is each one child, one paper book. I'm also worried, as I say, when we look back as to say what happened last year, because we might be getting an outcry that there is no delivery of textbooks. How did you find that some are even looking at what was supposed to be delivered last year? What is happening? Because whenever there is comments, there is no comment as to say the textbooks are not delivered for grade 4, 5, and 6, and 11. You know? But we look at the whole system. If really a child in grade 1 this year did not get a book, does not have a book with him or her, then we always get the comments as to say the government is not doing anything, there is no book delivered. Then that is always, that's why we always get different percentages when it comes here. Because from the department, we are only looking at these things, but we are not getting an idea what is happening with the grades that just have been delivered for. So for me, it's not helping. I'm never going to get an exact response to that if ever we don't get a report as to say, with the previously distributed, how aware are we, how far are we, and what is the percentage of that. But I believe all those comments, they are not commenting on the current delivery, but looking at the whole system as such. Third one, just, yeah, it's the third one. Chairperson, when we look at the report that we got today, the quarterly report, we always make mention, Chairperson, of problems when it comes to e-education, e-learning, whatever is one of the resources that should be given to our teachers to improve their quality of teaching and also the quality of learning with our learners. But we know the challenges that we have been faced with, and even here is one of the resources that has been talked about in schools, but where are we as a country when it comes to say the schools are in a position to receive that? Coupling that with that Chairperson, the page 41 talk of digital assistance for underperforming schools, where they can use extra work in time. And mostly we know in our country when we talk of underperforming schools, most of the time we talk of those schools from the deepest rural of our country, deepest rural areas of our country, where mostly they don't even have access to this. So when we get a report to say so much has been done, has been time, are we reaching are we reaching the target that we want to reach? So if we can get just get a clear idea of what is happening when we talk of this learning, everything that's being digitized, is it helping assisting or again we are still targeting the few and giving out many people who are suffering within the country. Jonathan, on page 57, again, on the quarterly report, it's quite nice to have been that talking of a visit to the provinces around the issues of ITS. I think our concerns are what only when I say this, say somewhere somehow the report is not clear, that doesn't give us exactly what we want to hear. If you can tell us that yes, so many schools have been visited, then plenty of them, I know we cannot talk to all of them. But for me, it was going to be even more if ever you're saying, yes, these are the schools that you have visited, when it comes to the issues of ITMS, we know that this is a very problematic area when it comes to our system. So for me to say, so many schools have been visited, and what were the findings, what as then, you know, I don't think it gives us, we can say we got the report on that one. So there are so many areas I want to just highlight on that one, because when it comes to the issues of ITMS, we always look back to the department. When we go out for our hands, always a problem to say that thing is not well done. So that's what's not saying anything to us. That much is ever it will be. Yeah, how it is that we have not received it. That's what happens. I'm very worried about the low spending when it comes to technical schools. That's one area that we're challenged with. There's one area where we say even to skill more learners in our schools. But if we find that there is understanding or there is no spending when it comes to that, it is much to be desired for them to say, are we serious to say, well, let's give them a hand and we want to shuffle them as early as we can. So that's why we have different kinds of schools that we have. So I would love to see the department can even talk to them.
Thank you, Chairperson. We thank you for the report. Let me just add that introduction to say we do oversight formally and officially as a committee, but we also do that as we move around, interacting with the public. And as we report that we get here, and what we meet outside another day. And at times we do not know what we need. But if you hear, for example, a child speaks on TV, and this child is in bush package, says, no, in our school we're sharing with Israel as a textbook, and we're saying in different sections of the village. And then somebody says in this meeting, no, no, we're actually having a principle of a book per learner, per subject. Who is lying? We are told on paper a book per learner per subject. And the learners said, no, in our school we share one textbook and we are playing and staying in different areas. And let us remember that in January of last year, we were on a visit in Limpopo, and while we were on oversight visit, there was a newspaper, not a review, which said books had not been ordered. It was denied by the department. And we were told then, you know, I can go outside now and ask the name of a school, they'll tell me a serial number, these things are computerized, they'll tell us exactly when the books are going to be coming. And it later on turned out they were lying, for a lack of a better way, if lying can be called unparliamentary. And up to now, I know that we have not taken anybody to task, because people lie under oath.
That's because of the extension, normally of parliament, we take on the everyone the next week, what is my unparliamentarian, or unparliamentary. Just saying they were telling us untruthful.
Okay, I accept that. Yeah. But you see, where it is, it seems to be deliberate misleading of the committee. I think we should be worried. We should be worried. Up to now, I'm still going to propose that we go back to those things and look at whether someone should not be taken to task for doing what can only be referred to as perjury. I also want to understand Section 21 and non-Section 21. Is it Section 21 or 20? Yeah. I thought when this distinction was made, among others, it was meant to simplify the bureaucracy that we have. And at certain schools, because of the skills that they have and the capacity that they have, they would have been given certain responsibilities, including to procure their own health care. Now, we're bringing them back to a system that we ourselves are unable to manage, and bringing them under the same problem. What I want to understand is this thing happening in Limpopo only, where the department is doing procurement for Section 21 and for non-Section 21, or is it only happening in Limpopo? I'm not sure, Chairperson, maybe I know that maybe they don't have enough time and paper, but I want some kind of information, you know. When you talk about a grade 12 result, you can look at a table, it will show you from 2010, this one happened. I know that Anna is not, we can't go back that long. But is it possible for us to have this, you know, per province, for example, to say this is the movement of the results of Anna in the province, even per district? Because for now we're getting a global to say that we have improved from this. But I mean, one school might have improved, one school might have taken right. Are we able to monitor this performance even per district to say this is the performance of our learners in numeracy and this is the performance of our learners in literacy? How good? Our target is 680,990 and we are clear that in 665. 206, so achieved. But these are learners who enter. How many of them
complete what they were supposed to complete. At the end of this program, what can they do? And I would ask you, we ask this at the stage of mission advent, because we appreciate this thing, but we want to also understand the impact that this program of Karikuye is. We can throw numbers around, maybe we're reaching a million, but you know, these people don't even stay the course. So what do we know about that? Lastly, for now, the GBE is SASA partnership. And they are saying here internship. I thought it was learnership. I'm not sure. I'll be corrected. But I'm asking because a few years back, about the learnership, and these are students who are doing a teacher's course through learnership mode. And they were doing it through the independent schools. But the complaint that we're getting was that the learners felt they were being used as cheap labor. In other words, unqualified teachers said that there was no proper monitoring to make sure that they were learning, because the person who's on the learnership must have what program are you talking about? If we are talking about learnership and not intention, I'm sure it's important now that learners who are going through that mode of learning the learnership are getting the necessary support from these schools, and that they're just not used as cheap labor.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question relates to 5% top up and the 2% decrease. I would imagine that it's a decrease in terms of numbers of school kids. An explanation was given to this event, but I did not understand. Can an explanation to somebody representing government be made? Actually, can you clarify somebody who is less capacitated than myself? There's also, among the reasons that we give in our factors, there is this one of change of school addresses. Do we deliver to private banks also, or PO box? Again, there's something that I don't understand here. Then there was also something like a national planning, monitoring, and reporting framework has been established. Can I be educated and properly schooled about what transformation this is going to make? My last question relates to delivery again. In the second presentation, slide 39, there is something about delivery there. Or let me put it this way. There were a plethora of reasons given for discrepancies with regard to delivery. When we were getting a presentation about Limpopo. And then in the second presentation, again about delivery, Gauteng 100%, Mpumalanga 100%, Western Cape 100%, KwaZulu-Natal 99%, I don't know whether I shouldn't make that 100. My question is, are those reasons and factors that make it impossible sometimes to avoid discrepancies, not applying to Gauteng, Mpumalanga, and Western Cape parents? That was my last question.
And then
than one. On slide 16, our international relationship, yours, by the way, the Department of International Relationship, I see that there was visitors who came here from Brazil. Is that the only relationship? We wait for people to, we wait for people to visit, or can we get a clear sense of time frame as to this is what we're going to do? Or if nobody comes, like, nobody will be having some interrelationship with you. And the third one, it's also great. The mother would set a target for doing teacher's training. And out of the one on the right corner, it's only 1.4 by the third court. And clearly, I'm not convinced that the remaining perspective will be completed in one, in the same one court. Because I think two issues that 1.4, you need to deal with 6.8. In court, you are installment according to me, and then my arithmetic cannot be asked to your math. And the next one, you see the 11.5. But
so
you,
and on slide 72, the infrastructure, the presenter talked about the low spending in Mpumalanga and Limpopo. I just want to know what causes those low spending. And then again on slide 113, only infrastructure, you talk of indirect grants, 23%, and conditional grants, 25%. I just want to be clarified what is happening. And then again on slide 103, on social cohesion, community mobilization, gender. We only see KZN. What are happening in other provinces in one slide 103? And then on slide 42, on the multi-grade, Can I be clarified now or maybe in writing? How many multi-grade schools do we have and what is the data now? And then lastly on that, you talk of teachers in, you talk about the training. I just want to check about the deadline of those training. Thank you, Chairman.
I'm all thank you,
January, the committee conducted a very fast in the paper and was told that
there was 6 more than 1,000 patients during this portfolio meeting that went to February 23rd, was a statement made by Mr. Tadjala Kuti, the spokesperson for the Department of Education, in which he stated that the Democratic Alliance is not fishing and bullying expedition basically came from the shortage. However, the number of books that we have ever seen were short, were 42,000, which is less than that the number that is contained in this report, which is 42,236. We have also said that wrong languages, have books in wrong languages that we delivered to the schools, have delivered 39,815 books that we delivered, as stated by the leader, in the area because they were in the wrong language. So I'm obviously telling you, Chair, that we will continue to fish and we have never been and will be, but we will continue to fish until we are sure that the information that you have is true, accurate, and that we call the department to the statement that was made this morning. And that has been kind of our looking at for this week. What is the target with respect to textbook literacy? The target that is in your annual performance plan is 85% of learners who have their own textbook. It is reflected in also in the first quarterly report. The statement that was made this morning was that our target, or our principle, the principle of a book per learner, per subject, per grade, which means 100% delivery of textbooks for all children. It's not what your annual school says. What is your actual target?
Thank you, Chairperson. I don't actually need answers now because I'm going to make some comments about some old issues. I think in 2011, the committee will remember, we went on an oversight visit to Mpumalanga, but we started in Mpoko, and we deviated a little bit on our way to Zanini and went to a school that offers technical subjects. It's not a technical high school. It's an ordinary high school that has decided to include technical subjects in their curriculum. Now, the Department of Education, Provincial Education Department, was there. Chief Director was there, who took notes. The staff was there. And we thought the problem would be resolved. The problem is the learners who take the technical subjects do not have the practical training. They do the theory only because there are no workshops. The issue is about, I think you will also remember, I did mention this in one of the meetings when we made the presentation. That's why I made them all due to 2011. Now, the department is supplying equipment to that school, machines, tools and so on and so on, but there happens to be a cabinet ballroom because there is no workshop there. But the chief are asking. Now in my mind I thought if a person is taking a technical subject, you will have the theory and the practical. You will also have math for practical. Now, I don't know where they get their maths for practical if there are no workshops. It's a big question mark. And we thought this would receive attention and address. So it's a serious issue. If you have learners who go through the report, when they go out into the world of work with a certificate that says they have passed the following subjects and those technical subjects are included, remember, the employer will not be interested. I always say the employer will not be interested in definitions. When they employ him, they want him to produce what must be produced, or help him to produce what should be produced. he has to make a chair or repair a chair. The idea there is to make him or help him to repair that chair, but not to define the defect in the chair or to define the chair in the chair itself. That's why I say I'm worried about this. Because in my mind, these are kids who are defining chairs outside. A polygon wooden implement that is used by teachers and principals and so on, whatever the condition. Now, I know it may not be your direct responsibility, but I think something can be done. Something can be done. I'm worried about this. Because the school, I don't know whether they were trying to tease me. One time when I came to the office here, I got a fax from the school, the results this year, the results, 25 results. They faxed me the results, and the technical stream, all of them passed. And I understand what they mean. They have passed. In other words, here are the children who have passed without doing anything. They have passed. I don't know where they got the marks from. I asked them at the sheet that they sent me. And I'm now afraid for travel in that direction. Whenever I'm home, I don't know what answers I can give. So I'm just alerting you to this big problem. That this is very, very serious. It's more serious than a textbook. At least with the textbooks, it can share one textbook. One night it can be used by one learner to do homework. But I don't know how one would deal with the shortage of workshops in a technical stream school. So that is the first one. The second one.
What is the name of the school?
The name of this is Fishebo High School. I thought because it's not the first time I talk about this. I thought everybody would remember. Otherwise we are too forgetful. Fishebo High School, near Fishebo Township, just about 15 kilometers from Fishebo Township, Fishebo High School. Now, and so I'm down to that one. Actually, for now, the school blamed the committee and the department because the department was represented and the committee went there physically. Now, they now sent me results and I can't make any comment. I don't know why they sent me results because I did not ask for them, but I understand the message. I can read between the lines. Now, the second one. It's about mobile classrooms. When at times you see a teacher with an old chalkboard under a dream ruler tree there, whether it's a concoction or not, I don't know. But you see it. And begin to think about the mobile classrooms that we see all over the show. At one school again in Seoul, when immediately after the results, when my must be personal now, my granddaughter paid, and they did not want to take her back. They said no one failed must go and look for space elsewhere. I went to the school and said, no, there must be something wrong here. She failed, I agree. Now, where is she going to get the space elsewhere? He said, no, maybe she must supplement. I said, that one is the worst. If you couldn't make it for 12 months, then you think in 2 months you can pass, you can plug me. This child must get a space in this school. Now, they said, don't have accommodation. And I said, okay, you don't have accommodation. And I see your class passing under this new things these days. You know, we go to modern schools, you see these green things, I don't know what you call them, where they pass their class. They move your class out of there and then get the kids in there so that they can be taught. Now they say, no, it's not necessary. We actually have 6 mobile classrooms. The reason why we said there's no accommodation is not that we don't have a place where these kids can go, but it has to do with just sitting accommodation. And secondly, these mobile classrooms can also be used elsewhere by other schools that do not even have those mobile classrooms. And the answer that we get about the removal of the mobile classrooms to other places is we are under administration. There's no money. I mean, can you imagine a person saying, I don't have money to remove this mobile classroom from point A to point B. To me, that doesn't make sense. Can even go to another department that has tax? Department of Public Works has tax. Why don't you go there and, you know, agree among themselves on how to transport these things to places where they are needed? They're just there. When you go in there, you find the first thing everyone really answers, something that we really should be aware of, and it worries us. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, on the Limpopo report, I've got three questions, and on the quarterly report, two questions. First of all, Chairperson, can the person tell us about the reasons for discrepancies?
Why is it lacking in empirical evidence? Because, you know, you can learn, you can give a narrative, but it is not, if it is not clear, substantiated with figures, then all those reasons fall flat. So the department cannot come here, give us those reasons, and then don't tell us how many schools did not submit on time or did not give the correct data. Because anybody can do that.
And I want to believe there is capacity that should give us better reasons or substantiated reasons. Chairperson, second question. It is on the conclusion part of the department, where the last line indicates the poor principals must be held accountable. Now, we've seen that last year, when the Limpopo textbook delivery started, and then the park was shifted to different people. Nobody wanted to be held accountable. Nobody wanted to accept responsibility. In the end, the poor official who was sort of identified to say this is the culprit. And then it was a local rank official. And now again we see that there's an effort to put the blame on the principal. Now let me ask a question. It is reported that the HOD has signed off the database, which I believe was information from the lowest level, from the principals, from the schools. I want to ask whether the HOD has done the correct thing to check that information. Why I say this? In the Monkey Valley conference with the department when we had that meeting, it was agreed, and the HOD reported on it, to say that information from sources in the department is not reliable. That's a fact. It was reported like that. And we agreed it is like that. My question is, if the HOD, with all the capacity in the department, receive information and then sign off, and then later say the information was only submitted by the department, what kind of administration is that? So, Chairperson, accountability issue needs to be looked at. Because in this report also, we need to understand, maybe I should ask the question, how many of the senior officials have taken responsibility for the non-delivery of debts? And that is for the Department of Basic Education at the national level and for the province. And what is the number of, say, junior officials that would take responsibility or be held accountable? Chairperson, then the other one is with regard to weekly reports. Also to substantiate or to try to understand the delivery of text. The department reports here that on a weekly basis through since October and December, they received weekly reports. Now obviously for me, when you receive weekly reports, you'll have to investigate, and you, in my understanding, there is a dedicated team that look at Limpopo. Now, obviously, you have to check, you must pick up some discrepancies or stuff, and think. Now, it is clear, now that we have the new year, despite receiving weekly reports, we still cannot do the right thing. the right quantity of books in the right languages at the right time has yet not happened. So, Chairperson, what is the sense of having weekly reports and you don't do anything about it and you still fail?
Then, with regard to the quarterly report, Chairperson, let me start by sector performance. I think it's a very important slide, sector performance, where you indicate ANA versus, or ANA and the NSC. 25 out of 81 districts performed at 30% and above in both the matric exam and in ANA. 53 out of 81 performed at 50% and above, but below in ANA. Now, it is clear, if you see the red line immediately, 25 out of 81, and then you see 53 out of 81. Serious questions need to be asked about that situation. But this debate has been coming on for a long time. If you look at the Eastern Cape, 17 out of 23, 17 out of 23, and you take it from the 53, then you can make your own calculations in that and ask questions about it. But it is a long debate, but it's also an interesting debate. But let me couple this performance to my second question, Chairperson, and that is the question on the loan pending in Program 2. I think it's 29% or 39% on Program 2. But then, if you look in the other tables of expenditure, like the economic classification and the other, then you will see there's a trend. Goods and services, goods, a trend here, of low spending. Goods and services is the next important one. Then you will see there's low spending in goods and services. Now that, to me, if you make the correlation, and you look at the sector performance, then you see that curriculum delivery, on which there is a low spending, is now the reason why our sector is not performing. Now, and this is not a new sort of a discovery. It happens every year that you will see. And I'm confident that I am correct that loan spending on Program 2 has been happening for a long time. Now, and there's no improvement. It happens every year. And then, Chairperson, nobody's taking responsibility. Nobody's being held accountable. So, Chairperson, the department, when the quarter report will say, well, we have to look at the end of the year. But if this is the projection, and this is in the third quarter, then we might say that we are worried about what is going to happen in the end. Because I want to believe that there is the saying that says, well begun is half done. If you start well, you will end well. Unless there are some serious problems along the way. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Jack. Well, unfortunately, I live in a rural area in Limpopo, and therefore that which people speak about is what we see, some of us on a daily basis. Now, back to the department, given your presentation, and what you have indicated that your, shall I put it in the inverted commas, your summary, then one, not 99% of schools that receive books as formally reported, of course politically. You that, and this, as the other members here have raised, 90% have, and you further indicated, and again, I put that in inverted commas, that at least 90% received the COVID, which again says that you are not sure about that. And once you say at least, it means you are not sure. You are just guessing. Which that is, you know, a very serious problem. Now, does that mean you are not sure among the at all? Even still the committee said to you, this is something that ought to be done. Or even as you know, this is your work, the work that you got to do. You come here and you report on, permit me to say, a daily basis, to say that there is progress, there's been this and so on, people are getting booked, etc. But that is literally the case here. We need to understand this truth. The people of South Africa, they need to understand what you are not doing. I want to put it to you that your way is so far as this whole thing is concerned. You're saying at least 90%. You're not sure. And then, what you put through the chairman, at least 90%. Further, of course, linked to that, can you indicate to the committee the assessment route to either have or intend to pursue to establish whether your purported 90% in court was actualized, whether the book at least at 90% or even more or less has been you know delivered. What have you done for this? I'm raising this through you, Chair. I'm a report from the committee, the work that is being done through the district offices and with the district offices have got to do and the kind of problem that, you know, are there. And one could actually go through this particular point, but I know all the members really know. But again, let me really get it from you to say, here are no books, here are the problems, etc. But we have emerged at the end of the year with this high pass rate. Okay? Your friend, very high pass rate, improvement in the end. And I'm putting it to you that it is true that this X number of children will go into grade 1, but then at the end, Busu Rice Matrix is about 20% of that particular number. And that has been researched and proven. It's 20% of that particular number. But what has further been proven is the fact that even that particular number, what we will call, you know, the students that have got to be you know, allowed in universities, etc., that particular number is lower. What then do you actually say? This lack of books, this lack of you being able to do your work vis-a-vis that particular point that you are raising. I therefore am putting this to you, that you have said to the committee, this is what we have been able to do. You are coming here prepared to say, this is what we have been able to do. This is the 99% that we have given, but now at least 90%. At least 90% have been given. So that to me is a very serious problem. And further, to say yes, we are talking of Limpopo because that is the province that is there before us now.
But then remember, there are other provinces that rose at some stage, Northwest, etc. But we're not talking about that now. They did rise to say, we have this kind of a problem, lack of hope. Must the school there, is the end, etc. Please tell us the truth. What are you going to do in work?
And also before I want to answer, because just I'm going to run out of time, and then I'll just summarize, because the questions I had, right in front, most of them, the majority, was asked. But I think there's, one. What I want to know, because to be one hearing, when it comes to post-provisioning, when it comes to textbooks, the turnaround time for Moffat, because from Scott it was 10 days. So we want to know what is the department saying on that. Because I think I'm not sure whether I should call it policy or either the administrative issue. That within 10 days time, schools are supposed to report that when it comes to post-provisioning and when it comes to the books itself. I'm not going to ask the other questions because all the questions are overlapping, especially when it comes to textbooks and other questions asked. So I'll ask Mr. Mouwer to start, and then you can just say who are going to answer the other questions. Thank you.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I really appreciate the questions put to us by the committee. We will try our best to respond to these questions as honestly and as best as we can, as we usually do. Chairperson, let me also indicate that it's becoming clear to me that at some point, maybe even outside the committee of this nature, in a workshop mode, where we can spend more time to understand the language that we use, because sometimes the mistrust and sometimes perceived misrepresentation comes out of the language that we use. Let me isolate one point. 100% delivery to schools does not equal to 100% delivery to all learners in every subject. That's one issue. So when provinces are reporting 100% delivery to schools, there will always be shortages, and I'm saying there will always be shortages. I'm saying this from my experience having been an HOD before. You use the data of the prior years to order the materials for the next academic year. Obviously, the data will never tell 100%. Having been with the National Department for 2 years in this responsibility, there is not even one province that can say, reopening of schools, we have delivered 100% of books to all schools and to every land. Not even one.
Don't schools acquisition? Because the thing is, you speak about the data of the previous year, but I have something on a question yet. Don't our schools not allow the acquisition to say they need so many textbooks, etc., in September the previous year?
Yeah, even in that instance, Jefferson, always what happens is that managers will be asked to build in a percentage, a small percentage for oversupply. But even with that, with the current migration that we're experiencing in the country, it's practically impossible to provide 100% in everything. And I'm saying this not only from experience. We've had recently last week a meeting here in Cape Town of the MECs and HODs. The situation, provinces are still mopping up, including the Western Cape. There is still more bad. So the 100% delivery of everything, we must just understand. I don't know any system in the world. If we can get it, I would be very happy to persuade the DG and HODs that we must consider getting that system. That can afford us 100% of everything when schools reopen so that every learner is sitting with the material that is required. That's one issue. The second issue is that I want to profusely apologize, Jefferson, that part of the difficulty that you experienced this morning was occasioned by the department for not forwarding the report in time.
I don't want to bring you, you know, into some internal workings of the department that created this problem. But as somebody who's been assigned the responsibility to lead the delegation, I want to accept that responsibility and profusely apologize. I did make a commitment last week that the report would be in. It was not delivered on time. I accept that responsibility. I'm going to request colleagues to quickly respond to areas of their specific line function so that we afford members to come back if there's a need to do so. For various program managers are here, they're able to respond, and I'm not sure whether infrastructure is ready to do that. Okay, thank you.
Last couple of education ministers meeting,
the ministers and MECs have taken a decision that where provinces require these funding and where there's low spending, we would redirect these funds to those provinces which need these funds on a loan basis, which means those who are ahead would get the money but would have to pay that back to the province that it released it. The other grant is the School Infrastructure Backlog Grant, which is also in its other name known as the CIDI, which is managed by the National Department to deal with inappropriate structures and all basic services, water, sanitation, and electricity. Then to the Honorable Lovemore, I think slide 92. On slide 92, I think we had this the last time. Basically, when determining the targets towards by 2040 to be 100%, we had used a NIMS database in 2009, which we then said at that time was calculated at 77% being the basic minimum level of our schools, which would have meant that we've got about a quarter of our schools that needed to be addressed. But the department, in ensuring that it's able to track and measure progress or lack of progress, had conducted a school monitoring survey, which was done independently. And that survey, while it's a sample, showed that approximately only 55% of schools in that sample were at a minimum level. Now, it would be easy to stay with the 77% because it looks better, but the reality on the ground would be that probably 45% of our schools are not at the minimum level, and therefore in our planning and programs and plans, we would need to accommodate this. And if it required additional funding, then we would need to request it. So that is why I refer to the new baseline. It doesn't mean we've reduced the target. It just means now that there's more, if this is absolutely correct, there's more work to be done in the same amount of time and may require additional resources. So we have other measures to measure our progress in probably another school monitoring survey, as well as we are doing a NIMS audit of schools in terms of the infrastructure that they have, which we could show that the situation is even worse, or it could be that the 55 is too low. Thank you, Chair.
In terms of international relations, I'm going to request Ms. Karamzin.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. To speak to the third item, which relates to the question posed by Honourable Lovemore around the agreement at slide 15, where we speak to the exchange of chiefs in the field of black science and technology. This is something which is a follow-through on the initial agreement, which was signed under the Ministry of Kadasno, some years ago, and this is the second phase of that particular exchange program, which is currently being reshaped and is still subject of negotiation between South Africa and Cuba. There is a range of further details which you would need to hash out in the finalization of an agreement. The terms of reference, that has already been drafted by Cuba, and South Africa is currently looking at that in terms of its responses to the draft terms of reference. With respect to the second issue around the work done with Zimbabwe, this stems from a bi-national consultation which was held in November 2012, where the focus around math, science and technology was proposed by our Zimbabwean counterpart, and that then led to them proposing that a draft again be developed by themselves for our further discussion at local level around the terms of that collaboration. I suppose that our curriculum branch could speak with greater detail about the choice of the focus on math, science and technology, but I think the results nationally will speak for themselves in terms of details and the focus that the department has placed on supporting math, science and technology in schools and giving that our focus in terms of teacher support and further development work to be done. I think those are the only two questions. There was, I think, a third question about whether we only look at, hosting visits. We can present a more detailed report about the external visits that have been paid by South Africans and response to invitation, but these are usually based on bi-national agreements as determined by our foreign policy, and our Department of International Relations and Cooperation usually would set the tone for the nature of the engagement between various government departments, and detail of such agreements would only come back to departments, to legal services, other units, to discuss the feasibility of some exchanges and collaborations, and those partnerships are then formalized through the normal route, through JERCO and the host department in the country. Thanks very much, Honourable Chair.
Thank you, Chair. And then the finance and HR issues will be responded to by the CFO.
Thank you, Honourable Chair members. There was a question on vacancies and it came, I think, from two honourable members. I must indicate that it's not necessarily possible to fill all the posts that were advertised in a quarter, because they could be advertised in, for instance, December, and then you still have to shortlist them and conduct the interviews. So some of the positions could be because they were advertised in December, hence not all of them were filled within that quarter. And I think the other question was answered by Mr. Padash of the difference of backlogs and EIG. Thank you, sir.
That agreement with Zimbabwe specifically refers to the training, not just the training of math and science teachers by Zimbabwe. My question was, is it for the lack of training facilities, resources inside the country, and what are the financial implications of such an agreement with Zimbabwe? For the training, because that's what the report says, not just the action.
As far as textbooks are concerned as well. And that is the mock-up phase that is
going on. The system of procurement, in terms of the central procurement, this was applied to the Limpopo model simply because of the budgetary constraint, and to use that as a leverage for economics of scale benefits to be afforded to the province. And it not necessarily would be something that would be ongoing. As the department obtained stability in its financials and its budget, this is not cast in stone in terms of the central procurement. But suffice to say that central procurement, as of now, which the department is looking at, and many provinces are applying in terms of avoiding the economy of scale, or gaining the economy of scale benefits from centralized procurement. I'm not sure if Carol wants to come in later on the effectiveness of the tests used and who is responsible. As a department, it is a responsibility that we take upon ourselves to go around to schools to look at textbooks being used in the classroom. It is actually to see utilization. The effectiveness of the textbook has been accounted for through the very screening process that we have. All of those books have been quality assured. So, not necessarily that any one book is of lesser quality or effectiveness to another. So it's about utilization, because it is simply a huge budget that is being provided for the provision of RTSM in schools, both from a workbook as well as textbooks. And therefore, it is incumbent on all stakeholders to ensure that these textbooks are utilized and not stored in kept in a store somewhere, that it is afforded to the learners or given to the learners so that they can utilize this. The responsibility for distribution of textbooks in provinces, by and large, this is a provincial responsibility. Obviously, in Limpopo, because of its state of administration,
the administrator and the Department of Education see to
the distribution of textbooks. The DB plays a supporting role in Limpopo. And where there is no administration, then it is a responsibility of the province. The retrieval policy was asked by both the second and the third honourable member.
Well, sometimes think of something, the responsibility in a way that applies.
Yes.
But it's two types of things. We at national, DBE deliver work. And then you also, you see to us that when it comes to math and science as the delivery of DPE. But now you're getting the responsibility now again, the province is responsible for it. But you have to be responsible too for what you are delivering. So I think you have to speak to that too, thank you.
Yes. The DBE is responsible for the delivery of the natural science and technology workbooks, which has been screened, and reports from the screening process indicates that it's very favorable to be used as textbooks as well. And then the DB is also responsible for the distribution of the grade 11 maths and science textbooks, noting that in provinces they have procured maths and science textbooks as well from the catalogue, but Limpopo, because of its budgetary constraints, to go by the provision of the DBE maths and science textbooks. And all workbooks that are provided by DBE. Okay. And that's the distinction. So the rest of the textbooks would be provided through the province, okay, in the program. The retrieval policy is a critical aspect that we are focused on. It is again, with the huge budgetary inputs that have been made into textbooks, it is therefore important that there isn't this bleeding that takes place. And the department is looking at systems that will be able to monitor receivable. There's a policy that has been provided and it will become mandatory, or has been mandatory for SIBO to take this. And each province has to provide a report, as well as Limpopo, on what has been retrieved and percentage of retrieval on a year-on-year basis. And then look at what is the top-up, so that it's not just pouring books into the schooling system and then you having books sitting in a warehouse somewhere. The credibility of the data, at present in Limpopo, there's a head count that is taking place. Yes, the data was not credible, but there is a process by which is being employed to ensure credibility of the data. And also to link the data to the systems proposed, which is the SASAM and Zulus, to ensure that whatever data is credible, is credible. There were challenges as far as the data was concerned in the Popo. There was means to try and obtain the kind of awarding from the school level, but schools' impact of the total number, it was not possible to get all schools in respect of the actual data from each school. So there is a process going forward, but there were challenges previously, which is an attempt is being made to remediate for that. But on the question on the delivery of textbooks, how far are we in terms of the delivery, what is the confusion? I think Mr. Fuwari has taken that. It's just the understanding, and as the honourable member has rightly said, or has indicated, the understanding is that there isn't a one-on-one. But what we are attempting to do is to have a one-on-one. And therefore, in answering another question that comes up, that came up later, what is being done, I think the question was, what is being done to ensure that you at least have an answer on what is the actual percentage. A circular and a template has been sent out to all schools to provide the actual learner numbers, what they have received, and what are the shortages. That in there? Okay. Then the 2.5% or the 2%, there were surplus books that were budgeted, simply because of this discrepancy that arises, and most problems do that. And in terms of the honourable member of Love Moose question, you have a quantity of books ordered and a quantity of books delivered. It's simply because of the surplus that has been ordered. There's a surplus quantity of books that have been ordered. I'm trying to go through this list.
Can I just request that
Ms. Nobeliwe must just fill in some of the questions that were not covered so that I could come in and just run off.
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson. Honourable members, the Karikode, the impact of Karikode in terms of the use of what exactly the impact is on those who participate in Karikode, there is a detailed report on Karikode project forwarded. Not just the level of participation, but also high level of completion and the experience of Karikode learners. We are anticipating an evaluation of the impact in that respect in terms of their experiences post participation. There was also an honourable member made comments about the trends in terms of learner achievement and performance in AMA and FC. I believe a report that has been sent to portfolio committee on this particular issue, the detail of the quantitative trend over the last 4 years with the implementation of the senior certificate curriculum, but also the senior certificate exam, but also the trend for province by gender, etc., as well as the qualitative diagnosis. But we can make those available in the future. In terms of evaluation of the use of textbooks and workbooks, my colleague has spoken to them. the DBE approved and developed workbooks and textbooks, the Siyabula textbooks, which we developed with the Shuttleworth Foundation as a partner. The DBE developed. So we need an independent evaluation of their quality in terms of the different dimensions of quality of material, but also we need an evaluation of their use. And downstream, after some consolidation of provision, the impact, etc., use in terms of in-classroom teaching, pedagogy, etc. So we are working on those issues, and we feel that those are very important, especially in terms of these high investment interventions, which we believe will expand the quality and are expanding quality of provision. In terms of the NDP report, the National Development Plan. With the report, the quarterly report, because of the constraint in terms of the quarter, we will be able to give a little bit more detail in future reports, because this is something that the Council of Education Ministers has deliberated on, and therefore, in terms of sort of the key recommendations of the NDP, which are aligned, or the sector planning is aligned to the NDP, and the recommendations of the NDP will have to be then presented, and the sector response to those, if that's acceptable. Thank you very much. I'm sorry.
I'll take over, Chair. Thank you very much, Chair President. Just to indicate that some of the issues that we are discussing are also issues that will be dealt with in the coming workshop, Chair President. I'm sure more detailed information can be provided there. Just to say quickly, in terms of the issues that you have raised, Chair President, additional information on RCE and infrastructure, I think we take note of that. We'll provide more information. HR, teacher apply and utilization, I'm sure will provide more information on that. Breakdown on curriculum, but also what was asked by Honorable Dikom, will provide that information. What is the throughput rate as against, you know, what is expected, literacy, numeracy, and so on. We'll be able to provide that information. And then some of the issues that were raised by Honorable Mposhana, the system for procurement, why don't we check the system if it's not providing what we expect? Honorable Chairperson, the system that we use in Limpopo is 1,000 times better than the system that we used last year.
And
it's not true out of Africa. I'm going to come back to that. If Section 27 and the publishing industry are able to say we are fairly comfortable with the level of delivery in Limpopo, surely it should give me some comfort. And I can say here that I'm much more comfortable than we are much more comfortable than we were last year, given the system that we see. This year we are able, you just mentioned one school that reports shortages, we're able to plug into a web-based system and check the POD, the status of the POD. Last year we couldn't do that. And therefore, I'm just mentioning one dimension of the system, a very comprehensive system that we use to deliver, verify, and plan, and so on. I can even go in so far as saying, where I'm sitting at the national level, it's one of the best systems that I use in the 9 departments. It would even be close to be the best from our assessment of our delivery planning and verification is happening across provinces. Let me touch on immediately on the issue of the post office. The post office was used by Northern Cape only. The extent of the success in that area, we're still collecting information. Because unfortunately, Northern Cape was not among the leading provinces in terms of the rate of delivery. We want to check whether the problem was with placing of orders at provincial administration level, or whether it was in the delivery chain of the post office. But it's one of those avenues that are exploring for the sector, that in future it could be a modality that we use for delivery of key materials such as your LTSM and other things. OK,
Okay, in rounding off, I would also say that some of the issues raised will definitely provide answers in writing. It should not suggest that we have not responded to them because we need them. We've taken all the issues that have been raised by honorable members and will definitely respond to them. But if you could just afford me to say that in terms of Honorable Makubele, indeed we'll try as much as possible next time to provide the information in the request that you have made. The difficulty is that we're reporting according to a template that is provided for. But I think we'll try and make sure that we accommodate the report against the targets, challenges identified, and the remedial measures that we employ in dealing with the challenges and the progress that we are making. We'll try to reflect that in future. Well, the issue of who's responsible for delivery has been responded to. In the main, it's PD. They are responsible for this. DBE's role is to provide leadership and support. And how do we do that? We issue a sector plan of how you're supposed to deliver textbooks and lectionaries. What is to be delivered, when, and how. We've been issuing that plan for the past 2 years, and it has helped a lot. The reason why I can pull this information out and say, from province one up to the last province, this is the rate of delivery because of that sector plan. Provinces have aligned their delivery plans according to the sector plan that has been developed and issued out by DBE. For instance, for 2014, we issued the sector plan last year, was in September, and we are saying warehousing and distribution must be finalized by January 2013, so that when the catalog is issued the end of March for grade 7 to 9 and grade 12, you don't start by supply chain processes for warehousing and distribution. You simply place orders and then you arrange with the publishers to deliver, and then your warehouse and distribution should be ready waiting for that. So that plan has been issued and provinces have aligned, and we have also reported to CEM on that. Chairperson, in respect of a very important issue which was raised by Honorable Gina. The part of the confusion in Limpopo is that the participation of schools in making a decision of which textbook should be used in schools, the presentation attempted to give an explanation in that regard, has been limited, has been reduced from the 8 catalogs to about 3 catalogs. From the same catalog. And it is an issue for contest. Some of the principals, when they say, we have not received textbooks, they are saying, we have not received textbooks which would have been textbooks of our choice. The same applies to them. And that's part of the confusion. And talking about that, when we talk about providing a textbook to every learner per subject, it's a target that has been set by CEM for 2014. CEM said by 2014, in the letter, we must make sure that we have provided every learner with a textbook in every subject. So, honorable people, it might happen that in some grades, in kept aligned grades, like your foundation phase, like your grade 10, like your intermediate phase, and grade 11, in Limpopo in particular, we have tried to realize that vision of 2014, last year and this year. They could still, if you say to me, not all learners have textbooks in every subject for every grade, I will not dispute that. In fact, if you go from one province to the other, you pick up the same. We move from a base of 45% text coverage in this country. 45%, when in Swaziland it was 85%. In this country, it was 45% according to the subject results of 2007, but also confirmed in 2010. We have substantially moved, and I'm sure we are close to 80% of textbook coverage. And I would dispute the notion that there are learners who are still sharing textbooks. It would be true. Chairman, I'm not sure. I would have really loved to go through all of these questions blow by blow, but maybe in the interest of time, we could still respond to them. That's the last point. What I would love more is right. In her response, she pinpoints Limpopo.
You know, with Limpopo, you've got a detail. With other provinces, you don't have that detail. With Limpopo, you can go in so far as close to putting your head on the clock. In, with other 8 provinces, 100%, 100% you are into school, but it does not give you the level of detail that we have for Limpopo. And in future, we'd like to get that level of detail. So that when we report to you, we strengthen our reports, we provide you details as to 100% delivery to school, is it a coverage of a learner, a textbook in every grade. And at the moment, we are unable to do that in the 8 provinces. But for Limpopo, we've got that detailed information. Thanks.
I think Mr. Llewellyn will have to write down certain questions. Because we come to the Ordin Bonshana, there's one question that you didn't touch at all when it comes to the evaluation of the effectiveness of textbook. But I won't go through each one. With the Ordin Nina, there's still e-learning that you didn't touch. And then, it's also, I know there's one question that comes up in all our meetings, and even Honorable Anyako speaks to it, the revitalization of our technical schools. Because we've always been there, and I don't think we are receiving correct answers. With the Honorable DeCorvo, there's two. And it's, the learnership and internship. And then the current schooling came up, I think it was the Honorable DeCorvo that spoke to it. They wanted a breakdown and the impact of that program. How would it contribute to the HR development of the country? And that we're not hearing. I'll come back again to Honorable Makubela, because there's something that was just looking on, you know, that needs help too. Honorable Moni, there's still two. The one is just a technical answer, but the other one, even, you know, when it comes to the transformation of the system itself. Honorable Lampu, they are, what, the intervention. We've never asked him about the interventions. We know it's an NCOT question, but we that oversight the department have a right to know what is happening in the Eastern Cape and what is happening in the Limpopo. And when it comes to the technicality of the figures that you spoke to last week, when it comes to our textbooks, you know, the delivery of textbooks and even the retrieval quality. You know, we don't hear much of it because we would like to see your policy and then how do you ensure that provinces are carrying out your policies from national. When it comes to Mr. Small, you only answered one. Yes, and effectively you still have about 4 to answer there. And when it comes to Mr. Matisha, it's in, you know, it's the same, because these questions were interrelated with the other questions as well. I think that's going to be important. You know, you will have to sit with the department. That's myself. Because we do speak out a format when it comes to your, when it comes to these quarterly reports. But I think we're taking it too wide at the moment. That's too wide. Because I'm under the impression, you know, if you want to deal effectively with it, it's the grants that have come up in that report. You know, a grant. And like I said, there was no need. Like we know, when it comes to school nutrition program, it's running very well. But there was no need when it comes to your infrastructure. Because even when a person gets your strength overall, the 23%, it is very low. That is very low, which means spending is not taking place. And look at the different provinces, spending is not taking place. We are speaking about, if spending is not taking place, the money will be given to provinces that are spending. But if this is Limpopo, that has, you know, where education is also taking place out of 3 years, which means there is no capacity to deliver in certain provinces. You look at what was doing at the Altaul as when we were there. They are on 99% spending, but they have a lot of backlog. You know, so what are we going to do about those things? And then what I would like to say, when it comes to the delivery of textbooks, the concurrent function, you know, to me is problematic. Because when it comes to textbooks, delivery, etc., that is supposed to be the competency, it is the competency of provinces. And I think we are public representatives here. And we are pressing you a bit too far, of course. We really want answers on that. And we're not sure what is happening in the provincial legislation when it comes to this, that itself. But the 26th, we will be with the department. And we will have to sit with myself, looking at, you know, lifting certain things. Because we are really lifting certain things. That we can have proper answers on these questions that is worrying us, or are worrying us. Especially when it comes to things that we read within the paper. And that we feel that there's a bit of truth in it. Or that there's not, you know, truth in it. Because I know how are we going to outside the textbook problem. But I want to thank the department for being present with us today. And that, you know, they are trying, you are not trying. I think you are being truthful. But the way we see things, you know, we go out. And the way you are seeing things, sometimes those things are then correlated. Because we knew when we were the focal answering the frequency in our report, that there were problems with the cancer math, and I think God's math, and the science textbooks. And then, you know, when it comes to best practices that we saw that you can follow, we'll speak to you again about that. Next week, people, we'll send an office to tell you whether there will be a meeting, but we need to go through the report of the beginning of the year, and I think we have to do it in our next meeting, the budget to school, and we need to go through our minutes. I think that will be important for next week. But thank you, members, that, you know, even if we have our differences, we will sit here for attending these meetings, you know, every week, and really making a contribution. Don't think we can't learn from you. We are learning a lot when it comes to each and every member in this committee. Yes, we are learning. Thanks a lot for that. Meeting closed.